ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife. News breakdown.
Well, of course, the big political news of the day is that the Liberal Party have formally abandoned the net zero commitments by 2050 climate target, which is part of the Paris Accords. Now, the decision was made during an extended meeting of the Shadow Ministry this morning. It probably surprised no onlooker who's been following this for the last few weeks. And it sees the Libs move closer to the National Party, which ditched their support for the target earlier this month. So they've essentially thrown in their lot with the Nats on this. So the Climate Council have said the decision to dump net zero will, quote, let climate change rip. Of course, the Liberal Party argue otherwise, and in fronting the media today, they kept a focus on what they hope will be their message of reducing emissions whilst reducing energy bills. Karen Barlow's chief political correspondent for the Saturday paper has been watching all this unfold today very closely, as I imagine the entire Canberra press pack has. She joins us for her take on it. Karen, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hi, great to be here.
What do you make of it?
Oh, well, look, there are lots of questions about, you know, how you're going to, you know, ditch the target and still remain in Paris. And
How do you do that?
Yeah. Well, it's still kind of open there. It's just, you know, the one big offering to the moderates in the party to stop them from running off, but it doesn't square with the reality of the Paris Agreement. Look, the Morrison government locked Australia into it in 2021, and once in it, it stipulates you can't go backwards on your emissions plans. You know, you've got to ratchet up, not ratchet down. So we have the Liberal Party stating that they're going to remove the legislated target, and they're going to, not really have aspirations anymore. They're going to do it their own way. It doesn't really sound like a climate plan. It's there brazenly about prioritising affordable power. And that's the gamble of all this. The cost of living is the top issue, the top ticket item for voters. And the Liberals and the Nationals, they want to ride it out and they want to go their own way to government. You know, voters may have another idea.
Yeah, all right. This is Susan Lee explaining the party's decision.
Under the Liberal Party, affordable and reliable energy will come first. Our emissions reduction goals will never come at the expense of Australian families, and this is the principle that will guide every decision we take. To keep faith with that commitment, the Liberal Party will remove a net zero target from our policy. And if elected, we will remove the 43% 2030 target and its net zero by 2050 target from the Climate Change Act. We remain committed to the Paris Agreement and to doing our fair share to reduce emissions, but we will do it in a way that protects households and budgets and keeps our economy strong.
But Karen, how do you ditch the net zero target and the 2030 target and still remain in the Paris Agreement? You can't, can you?
You can't. It is written into the agreement that you can ratchet up, you can change your plans to do more, to have greater ambition, but you can't go backwards. So to stay in the Paris Agreement, it doesn't make sense that you're going to do it your own way, you're going to stick with coal, you're going to use taxpayers' money to keep propping up coal for a bit longer, and you're going to be pulling apart some of the regulations, dismantle the targets, as she said. They're going to throw all technologies, they say, at it. But they're going to say, if they get to net zero without the effort, without the targets, it will be what she says, a welcome outcome. And that's the word, that's another little bone that's been thrown out to the moderates, that there will be some other way to get to net zero without any sort of enforcement.
Almost by accident. Almost as though we get there by accident, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It was a curious form of words that, yes, they would welcome it if we got to the net zero target by 2050. But that's not because we would be taking any active steps to get there.
Absolutely. This is about, as I said, lots of dismantling, removing the targets, removing subsidies, undoing regulation, throwing all technologies at it, keeping on with nuclear power, which voters did not find enticing on May 3. And, you know, they say they're also going to do this voluntary offset market and offset pollution. Look, at the, it's been problematic in the past, offsets. I don't think there's a particular tried and true method of making sure that offsets are the way to get to lower emissions. But they say that this is going to be a new market, this is going to be a new business if we do it their particular way.
Yes, Susan Leader made a direct address to Australian households, also calling out the Prime Minister's press conference this morning as well.
You are paying too much for your power and it's not okay. Labor went to two elections promising you that they would deliver cheaper electricity. And instead, power bills are going up 40% and that's not okay. Now, I see the Prime Minister has popped up today and, as usual, is focused on the opposition, focused on politics, not focused where he should be, on ordinary Australians who are struggling. So I just want to make it clear. Anthony Albanese lied to Australians when he said he had a plan for cheaper power prices. And every bill, every month, every quarter is a reminder of that lie.
Yeah, what did you make of the Prime Minister, Mr. Albanese's press conference this morning? Karen?
It was unusual that he came out first. It was an early morning, 9:15 a.m. press conference, and Albanese has benefited from the coalition's division, and he's sort of not got in their way while they've been making mistakes. But he did put himself out there, and it was a Sydney press conference away from the Canberra press gallery. But it was an opportunity for him to bash the Liberals for what everyone expected them to do. He didn't have to do it, but he felt that he needed a counter, I guess. It is a significant decision of the Liberals that was taken today. And, you know, a lot of it is energy and climate positions that they've taken before, coal, nuclear, carbon capture and storage. But this is a line in the sand, a point of difference. So it was something that the Prime Minister felt that he had to sort of get on top of before they announced it. I mean, this is, I guess, another go at the climate wars.
Yes. Shadow Minister Dan Tehan's also fronted the press today, and he's had the courage, he needs courage, actually, but he's been having the carriage, of course, of the opposition's energy policy. This is what he had to say.
We have to use our natural resources to make sure that we are bringing as much downward pressure on energy prices as we possibly can. And we should use all those natural resources to do so. So we will put downward pressure on energy prices using the energy abundance that we have as a nation. The second thing is we're going to make sure that we're doing our fair share when it comes to emissions reduction.
Let's unpick some of that, Karen, because it's all very well to say you'll have lower energy prices, but there's no setting out of how this would occur if you're going to build new coal-fired power stations. And it does sound as though Mr. Dutton's plan to build seven nuclear power stations at taxpayers' expense is out the window. So there's no indication of how this nuclear option might see the light of day. So where's the cheap power going to come from?
I guess it comes
even
back to that.
Even if you thought that was cheap power.
Yeah, it's almost similar to the statement about it being a welcome outcome if we get to net zero, if we do it without any particular effect. We haven't been given a clear idea of exactly where the lower prices are going to come from, because, I mean, we're talking here about the period in government, should they be elected, And it will only happen then. So when will that be? Will that be in 2028 or will that be beyond? But this is something that they're going to take as a policy forward. So we don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but they do commit that they will reduce emissions on average year on year, and they will do that, as you said, in line with comparable countries, and they want to do it in a way where obviously power prices take priority. So the focus will be on that. But at the same time, the move for emissions, they're not going to poke Australia's head out any further. They say that's what Labor does. They're going to say that, you know, it's all about what is happening now and with cost of living.
Karen Barlow is with us, Chief Political Correspondent for the Saturday Paper. We're talking what was the big political news in Canberra today, of course, which is the Liberal Party's decision on net zero. They're dumping it. They're lining up with the Nats on this. And there'll be no, well, if they were to get into government, they would pledge to repeal the net zero pledge, which is in law at the moment by 2050. How that might be achieved, of course, is entirely another matter. Karen, it strikes me as though it's a series of, you know, talking points. I'm not sure. I mean, the policy decisions or the policy details here just aren't there, are they?
They've had very long meetings in the party room. It was 5 hours and it was 3 hours today. Mm. That was a fair amount of time to sort of nut things out, but obviously they need to smooth things over further. I mean, they've given us a few pages of detail, but that's just media releases and some points. And a lot of it has similarity to what was offered a couple of years ago under the coalition under Scott Morrison, when he was talking about we're going to do it by technology and not taxes. We've got a lot of similar things here. Well, we're still talking about carbon and capture and storage, which is an unproven technology.
Oh, no, this thing poked up its head again. Carbon capture and storage. I mean, dear idea. This is an idea, that's right, which has never been proven. And it's been designed by advocates of coal, isn't it, to keep coal in operation. But it's not. Yes. It's not a proven technology, is it?
It's not a proven technology, and it was offered today as offering immediate relief. This is something that, the Liberals were talking about all the subsidies that are put into renewable energy, and that has to stop. Well, this would actually need a fair amount of support to get off the ground if it works, and it hasn't been proven that it works.
Mm. The government's vulnerable, though, aren't they, on the issue of high energy prices and the coalition's onto this. This is potentially a powerful piece of leverage for them, isn't it? That the government's, you know, for all the government's talk about cheaper energy prices, it hasn't happened. And now, you know, Chris Bowen's very keen to say, look, this, it will happen down the track. Renewables are clearly, and most experts agree on this, that they are the cheapest form of energy. So, you know, down the track it will, but it's not at the moment.
Power prices should be heading down anyway, according to the International Energy Agency. They say that if we stay on the track with net zero, household bills are expected to head down. I guess that's a reason to stick to the plan. But, this could work, though, perhaps not with everybody. It's about selling it right. And, you know, there's the rump for Susan Lee. It's going to be a test for her whether this could be sold right by the coalition. Obviously, they haven't fared well with the past two elections. So this is the top issue in mind for voters. So we're told by pollsters about cost of living, climate change is important. It's sometimes in top at the top three, perhaps with younger voters, but by far it is cost of living. So what we're seeing here obviously is a point of difference now, a line in the sand between the coalition and Labor. It's climate versus power prices.
Yeah, there seems to be some hint that the coalition think they might be able to do what they did with The Voice, that there was a broad consensus in favour of The Voice until Peter Dutton and the opposition said, no, no, we're going to oppose it. And then the community split over it. Do you think they're trying to do the same thing here?
I think elements of the coalition think that way. Not everyone in the coalition thinks that way. Certainly, we've been hearing for a while, I've been hearing from the likes of Tony Barrow from Redbridge pollsters warning that the support for renewable energy is softening, and it has been for a while. But, you know, remember, this is a Liberal deal. It's a deal for the conservative right of the party, and they're concerned about losing that right flank to One Nation. There isn't much here for the moderates who are concerned about those inner city votes that might be more concerned about climate action. The gamble is that everyone is concerned about cost of living. Everyone's feeling pain, and that across the board, this might settle on everyone and might be a reason for them to change their mind about who they're voting for.
It's a strange situation, isn't it? Because Susan Lee, of course, has been on record in the past as supporting net zero. So is this one of those proverbial malodorous sandwiches, Karen, that politicians sometimes have to consume?
Yes. Well, I mean, I know there's a lot of talk about this climate policy debate being a proxy for the leadership. I think while that's true and it has been in the past, I think Susan Lee is safe for now because she is being tested. I mean, who would want to be the opposition leader right now, having to sell this, having to wear this? Let's see how it goes. I'm sure her rivals are thinking right now, this is no time to take over. She has given a lot away to the moderates who supported her leadership when she took over after the election. There is a lot of pressure on Susan Lee. I mean, I got to remember the last time I spoke to you on radio, I actually said I thought Susan Lee was doing a good job, a fairly good job, but that was before she had those hiccups of late, whether it's the T-shirt, the Joy Division T-shirt, the criticism of Kevin Rudd after it all went swimmingly with Albanese's meeting with Donald Trump. I mean, she's had some testing times that she's brought on herself, and now she's had this moment as well. But I don't think there's any appetite to take over from Susan at the moment, and why would you?
Yeah, no, very, very interesting day for political watchers. Karen, terrific to have your time. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Karen Barlow has been with us, leading the Nightlife News Breakdown. Karen's the Chief Political Correspondent for the Saturday Paper.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.